the DNA of Liberty Church, looking at who we are as a people, looking at who we want to be. What is it that defines us? What are the important things? What are our values? And I've loved the series and had some good positive feedback and from people just saying how much appreciated it. What kind of church are we? What kind of church do we want to be as we, in a new era in the life of Liberty Church? Not just a new season, but a new era of what God is doing. And over these last few weeks, we've been saying that we are a church that is growing and expects to grow. We expect to grow in number. We expect to grow in faith. We expect to grow in character and Christ-likeness. That would be our expectation. That we would expect the power and presence of God with us in our midst. When we gather on a Sunday, when we gather in life groups, and through the weeks we would have the power of God. We would see the gifts of the Spirit being used. We're a church that reaches out into the community. We already do it, and we want to increase that influence, that impact in the community around us, helping in practical ways, but also bringing the life-changing message of the good news of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, we were talking about being vulnerable. We're a church that we come as we are. We don't come with pretenses. We come with all our failings and all our faults, and we open up ourselves to each other and to God and say, this is who we are, God, knowing that there's a God who is perfect, who accepts us, who loves us, and wants to transform us. But this would be a safe place where we don't pretend to be something we're not, but we realize that we are ordinary people in the hands of an extraordinary God. We looked at the gospel and what it is to bring the power of the gospel to those around us. And last week, Sam was talking about family, a word which is so important to us as a church. In its best sense, what was family? What does it mean to be family? And I believe, and our challenge is, how do we remain family as we grow as a church? So these things that we've been looking at, I believe they put a stake in the ground as to who Liberty Church is. As we move into this, they say, this is who Liberty Church is. This is who we want to be. This is what we are growing into. And today is the last in the series. And I want to speak about something which is so close to my heart. Something which I've personally been involved with so closely ever since I became a believer as a late teenager. And as something that has always defined, I believe, God's people right through the ages. Back through the Bible, we see this has been such an important part of God's people together. And that is worship. That we would be a worshiping community. And when I'm talking about worship this morning, I'm actually talking about corporate worship. The church gathering together, the family of believers gathering in one place or in groups where we worship God together. Where we express our praise and our devotion to God, our commitment, our adoration of who God is. The awe that we come with, how great is our God. Surrendering our lives and coming and saying thank you, God, for all that you have done and yet to do. If you've been around for any while in Liberty Church, you will know that we have three purposes. We've talked about them recently in many different settings. As a church, we want to be up, in, and out in three directions. In is the nurture of the believers so that we would grow as believers in our faith and in our relationship with God. Out is our outreach into the community, into those around about us, into the world around about us, bringing the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And up is our worship of God. To worship, there will be a people who worship God. Now, obviously, when we talk about that, we're not just talking about singing songs or gathering together. We're talking about our whole lives. It's the surrender of our lives, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, and he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your true spiritual worship. And that whole sense of it's everything. It's us completely. It's our complete lives given over to God. That first and foremost, we would be a people who worship God. Who say, God, you are number one. You are above everything else in my life. You're the very center of everything I do. And that's what we believe to be worship. But I realize that sometimes I speak in that sense and I say, you know, it's way more, worship is way more than just coming together and singing songs. And I know I've said that. And it's true. And yet, sometimes I think that by saying that, it almost downplays the importance of being a people who worship together. And I believe that corporate worship, that the church gathered in praise and worship, is absolutely vital to the life of any healthy church. That we need to be a people who worship God, singing together, and whether that's exuberant praise, as we've seen this morning, or whether it's intimate worship, whether it's times of silence, whether it's allowing time for God to speak through us, or to bring scriptures of praise or prayers, whether it's dancing. Don't see much dancing. There was a little bit of movement this morning, though. I saw a few people sort of, whoa. Maybe not quite like that. That's dad dancing. Oh, aren't you grateful we don't have video? Art, other expressions that we use in our worship together. Things that express our worship of the God, our Creator. And the Bible is so full of references to worship. Way back in 1 Chronicles, we have the story of the Ark of the Covenant being brought in to Jerusalem and the praise and worship that accompanies it. And it talks about David appointing Levites to sing and to lead the worship. And he says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. I don't know about you, but I can just imagine. I don't know what the music would have been like. I don't know what what some of the instruments would have been, lyres and cymbals and things. Very different to what we have. But this congregation of God's people, led by the Levites, the priests, coming and worshiping God together. Incredibly powerful. And in the Psalms we read, so many of the Psalms are songs and poems. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 95. This exhortation, this encouragement, to come. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And then later on, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And that psalm itself is actually a model which very frequently we'll use in worship. And you'll see the worship, even when I'm putting together a worship set or others are doing worship on a Sunday morning. We would very often start with this, let's sing for joy to the Lord. The songs that we've sung are exuberant praise. But there comes a time when we bring it to a place of, we just want to kneel before God. We just want to surrender our lives. This is us and God, and how immensely powerful. And we need both of those things, that expression of praise and of intimate worship. And in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we have this picture of the early church, which many at the end of chapter 2, when the church is just birthed, and we see the picture of the church there, and we think, okay, this is what the church should be like. This is an image of what the church is like. And at the end of that chapter, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, in the New Testament, we've got this picture. I don't know how they did it, because just up to that point, they've had 3,000 added to their number in the early church. So they've got a big church congregation, people meeting together, though, in homes and other places, praising God with whatever instruments or no instruments they had. Corporate praise has always been a part of God's people. And whether that's unaccompanied praise, and it's still in churches, many churches. Fiona and I were at the Free Church College doing a module last year, and as part of their worship, they got together and they sing the Psalms without any accompaniment. And how beautiful that can be. It's just a different expression of worship, unaccompanied singing. Singing together with God's chosen instrument, the pipe organ. You know that when the pipe organ came in, it was being heretical. How dare you bring in a pipe organ into worship in the last centuries, whatever, thinking. And then it became commonplace. And then it's replaced with these things, guitars and drums. How dare you replace the organ with drums? And it's just a different expression. Whether it's drums or bands or orchestras or organs or unaccompanied or lyres and cymbals and harps and all the things we see in the Old Testament. Whether it's ancient songs or modern songs, it doesn't matter. And we know I know, and I'm sure many of us here have been in places of corporate worship, we worship together, whether here or in conferences or other churches or places, we're thinking, this is just so powerful, so wonderful. Now, if I'm honest, there have been times when I've been in other churches and other environments where I thought, this is just awful. I don't want to be here. This is terrible. The instruments are out of tune. There's no atmosphere. There's no environment. There's no nothing. I don't know where this, what's going on here. And you hear people saying, well, yeah, but you've got to push through because it's not about you, it's about God. I understand that. We'll come on to that. But there are some times we make it very difficult to worship God. And there are some environments which are not helpful. But even when it's good, even when worship is great, I don't know if you've been in places where you're thinking, is it just me? Have I got a short attention span? There are times when you're thinking, this is wonderful. Oh, I could really do a sitting down now or a cup of tea. And then people say, you've got to get used to it because you're going to be doing it for eternity in heaven. And I'm thinking, oh, really? Oh, really? That and partying, it's going to be one big party. Am I going to be singing praise songs for eternity? Do I not get a cup of tea and a sit down somewhere? Now, I don't know if you, that, but actually it's one of the reasons we have randomly short worship times in Liberty Church, is that I think actually, however good worship is, sometimes we think, okay, I'm tired now. I need to move on to the next part of whatever's happening. That's me being very honest. You may not feel that. You may think, we just want to worship for hours on end, and if that's great, right? But Liberty, of course, has its own flavor, its own DNA of worship. We use old songs and contemporary songs, and we have them in our own style. It's maybe not a unique style, but I believe we do have a unique DNA. I love Liberty worship. I love leading worship in here. It is such a joy. We have such great musicians, great singers, great people. Some sensitivity when you come into worship and you think people are reading. They're not just playing a song, but we're actually worshiping together and listening for what God is saying and doing. And it is a real joy and a privilege to be part of worship band in this environment, and has been all the time we've been in Liberty with all the different people. And it's great with the people who love God and want to worship. People come in and want to worship God. You know, when we came to Liberty, Fiona and I, in 1998, almost 22 years ago, I came in at that time believing there was a clear call on my life to lead worship. I believe that God had said, I want you to lead worship. I had been leading worship in other environments. And we came into Liberty, and we knew that this was the home for us. But I was confused because I thought, I don't think there's a need for me to be involved here. This great worship band, and I'm thinking, God, what was all that about? And what's happening? But actually, very soon after that, it was Tim's not here this morning, but Tim Cooling, who was leading worship at the time, and I owe a huge amount to Tim. He brought me into the worship band, and he said, I want you to come in, and he actually showed me how to play guitar and do things properly, or in terms of the way we do it, because I played in all sorts of different settings, but he showed me all sorts of new techniques. And I'm hugely grateful for that. And within a year, I was leading worship in Liberty Church, and I believe that God was there saying, okay, God, sometimes we just need to wait. And I love leading worship here. I believe it's part of our DNA of Liberty Church, such a vital part, which is why we're speaking about it this morning. So why is it so important to come together and worship? Why is it so important? Well, first and foremost, our God is worthy of all worship. First and foremost, above everything else, worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. He's worthy of our praise. He's our creator and our sustainer of everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's our Redeemer. He's our Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's our way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the great I Am. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We could go on and on and on. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship always. He's the only one worthy. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. We sing these songs because he is the one who is worthy of worship. Our worship is all for God. It's all to God. It's all about God. That has to be our starting point. It always starts with God. And sometimes you might think, well, isn't that a bit egotistical of God? We come together and you just lap it up. Okay, come on, guys. Just give me more. Give me more. Tell me how wonderful I am. Well, if it were you or I saying that, and there have been people, many people in history, leaders, kings, other people, who've said, yeah, treat me as God. Worship me. That's egotistical. That's arrogant. But God is different. God is worthy of all our praise. You see, we were made to worship God. We were designed, we were created to worship God. One of my favorite bands, U2, sing a song called Magnificent, which is wonderful. And Bono sings this line in it, and he says, I was born to sing for you. I was born to sing for you. We were born, we were made to sing the praises of God. Man's chief end, his chief purpose is to glorify, to worship God, and to enjoy him forever. And I believe we find our greatest fulfillment in worship. Worship connects us with the lover of our souls, with the King of Kings, with our God who longs for a relationship with us. And it's in worship that we focus on him and ride this completely dependent relationship on God. It's what we were made for. It's who we are made to be. And if we don't worship God, we'll find something or someone else to worship. Because we are people who need to worship, if it's not God, we will find someone else, whether that's money or sex or possessions or status or other people or even ourselves. There are so many things that people will substitute for God because we need something or someone to worship. But even as Christians, we're not immune to that. In our settings, we're so easy that our focus, which should be on God, changes and we start to worship church. We even start to worship the Bible. We start to worship religion. We even start to worship worship itself. Wasn't that a great song? Oh, it's so good to worship. And worship becomes the focus rather than God becoming the focus. And yet all of them fall short. As the video we saw earlier on, nothing can take the place of Jesus. There is nothing, however good it is, will ever take the place of Jesus. But not only are we made, but we are called to worship God. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 16, Paul writes, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. This picture again of God's people coming together, building each other up, as we focus on God and worship him. Psalm 95, we are called to worship God. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Come, let us bow down in worship. We are called to be a worshiping people. So if for no other reason, if we'd ask, why do we worship? Because God is worthy of our worship, because we are made to worship him and we are called to worship him. We could stop there and say, that's it. That's it. But then you might say, why come together? Why don't we just stay at home? Why don't we just watch songs of praise? Why don't we just sing How Great Is Our God in the shower when the acoustics are great and nobody else can hear us? And I appreciate that actually for some that who can't get here on a Sunday morning, who can't get out, that actually that is their experience of worship, doing these things or on our own. And I'm grateful for all the resources that are there. I'm not quite sure if I'm grateful for Songs of Praise. It has some interesting theology, but there are some good bits in it, I think. But there's other things. There's so much available that we can enter into worship through the modern media. But nothing substitutes coming together. Corporate worship, I believe, does something in us. It's a win-win situation. God is good at that. When we come to worship God, this is a win-win situation. See, corporate worship does many things. First of all, it refocuses us. How much we need refocusing. Recentering. There's something I believe in song worship that recenters us on God. You know, when we speak out something, I don't know about you, but if I'm even reading the Bible, I speak it out. I speak it out when I'm doing it. I find it very difficult to read the Bible without actually speaking it out. And part of that is it slows my mind down to the same speed as my voice. And I think there's something in worship, when we come together and sing worship, it just, we start to, with the songs that we sing, it helps us, slows us down and refocuses us. Because, let's face it, there's a lot going on. So much going on in our lives, in our work, in our family. And this season of Christmas, where we're supposed to be focused on Christ, there are so many other things that pull us in all different directions, aren't there? So much going on in our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we need that regular recentering of our faith. You know, when we sing songs like, Jesus be the center, calling that thing, because I want to be centered on Jesus Christ. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be the center of everything I am and have. And sometimes I think, I've been a Christian for almost 40 years, and I'm thinking, God, why do I need that? Surely I should be mature enough now that every moment should be focused on you, that from day to day and moment by moment, I shouldn't need to come and be refocused every week. But it doesn't matter how mature we are. I believe we need the disciplines, the things that draw us to God. And I think corporate worship is a discipline. Is a discipline to draw us to God, a regular coming together of God's people. If you've done the marriage course, Fiona and I have led and done the marriage course many times. And one of the wonderful things about the marriage course is it encourages you to have date time. And what it says is get your at the end of each session, get your diary out and write it in. And when you do it, you're thinking, this is a bit clinical. I should just be this romantic person who spontaneously loves my husband or wife all the time. It should be just one long date from morning till evening. That's life. That's what it should be. That's what it is, isn't it, John? Yeah. One long date. Now, I'm all for that. But the truth is that life gets in the way sometimes. And sometimes we have to guard fiercely and put things in our diary and say, we are going to meet for lunch. We are going to have a date night. We're going to do this. Because if we don't do it, it ain't happening. And we need that for our relationship. And I believe it's the same with our corporate worship. We need these regular times of coming together. God knows we need them to worship Him, to focus on Him, our date time with God together. We need these things. And I know that without that regular meeting, we drift so easily. And I've seen it time and time again where people say, we're just taking some time out. We'll just worship God on our own. And I'm thinking, that is so hard. And I'm concerned when I hear that. When people say we're not going to be around for a while, we think we'll just stay at home and we'll put on songs of praise. We can worship. We've got great resources. We'll worship at home. And I'm thinking, we are meant to be a community. We are meant to come together, to worship our God together, to praise, to surrender, to express our love and gratitude. You and I need to worship together. I don't believe it's an optional extra. It's not something. I think that coming together to sing God's praises, and whether we come here and we reflect on the week that's been and we're saying, God, thank you. In the midst of life, you are there for me this week. Or whether we're setting ourselves up and saying, God, the God I worship today is the God I want to walk with for the next week. I believe it does both things, but it refocuses us, our lives on God. I think worship seals truth in us. It stamps things into our hearts and minds that we need. Truth set to music embeds things like nothing else. You'll know that. You can remember songs. We sing the gospel. Then on the third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. And when you sing that, something stirs in you. This is the gospel that we believe in, the risen Christ. It sets something in us. We sing the scripture verses. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. I'm sure there are many people who know those words from Isaiah 9 because we've sung that song so many times. That's what it's there for, to realize, to come before God, but to bring these words and embed them in our souls. We declare who God is. Who shall we say you are? You're the living God. Who shall we say you are? You're the great I am. Who shall we say you are? The highest name of all. And when we sing these kind of songs, it does something in us that seals truth that says, that's right, that's who God is. Singing together sets something in us. It's so important, though, that we sing truth. There are so many worship songs out there. We think, what a great riff, what a great tune, what a great melody, what a great arrangement. And then you come to sing it, you're thinking, what naff words. And words mean nothing. When you ask them, what does that mean? And thinking, I don't really know. But it's a nice song. And we need to be so careful. And when we introduce new worship songs, we try to go through them and say, what are we actually singing? Are we singing truth here? Is this something that, is this true? Can people engage with this and say, this is the gospel that we believe? This is the God that we believe in? I have to say, sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we've had to take songs out and thinking, I'm not sure that that is right. It's important that we sing truth. And fortunately, there are many great songs, ancient and modern. There are great songs that are being written. There are great songs in the past. And there will be great songs that come from this church, I believe. That God wants to bring songs from Liberty Church. So worship seals truth. Worship unites us. I think there's something so powerfully, corporate worship. We are one body together in worship. We see that in Colossians chapter 3, talking about one body coming together. There's something incredibly powerful in playing music together. I don't know whether you've been in a choir, opportunity this week to be in a Christmas choir. That'll be a lot of fun. Or an orchestra, or a band, or maybe you've just been to the football or the rugby and you've sung along with thousands of people, and there is something spine-tingling sometimes when it comes together. I've had the opportunity and the privilege of playing in bands and choirs and orchestras and brass bands and all sorts through the years. And in each one of them, there have been times where something goes, everything comes together, and you think there's something way bigger going on here than the sum of the parts. You're contributing to something that which is just, oh, it is so powerful. And there's an incredible sense of belonging that comes with that. I think when we're together with music, there's such a sense of belonging that says, I'm part of something. I'm contributing. I'm here as part of something which we're all joined together in. And whether that's worship or not, that is incredibly powerful. But worship takes it to a whole new level, because we come together with all our ages and stages of life and backgrounds and joys and sorrows and pains. And I think there's something that levels the ground when we sing worship together, that puts us in the same direction, joins us as one, exalting our God, one people with one purpose. And I realize that faith, particularly in Western society, has become very individual. A lot of the songs, we try to avoid some songs because they become so about me and God. And there are times for me and God. We need me and God. My relationship with God is my relationship with God. But as you read through the Bible, the emphasis is so much on us and God. It's God's people together. There is a corporate identity, and I believe we need to bring that in as much as possible, to sing songs that talk about us praising God, about the God and about the people together bringing his praise. Worship, lastly, it builds us up. But you know, if worship refocuses us, if it seals truth in us, it unites us, it's going to do that. It's going to build us up. It cannot fail to build the church. When God's people come together to declare the praise of God, then the kingdom of God advances and God will build his church. I believe that when we come together, something powerful, that God, I believe actually worship, I don't like talking about it in terms of spiritual warfare, but I do know that when we worship God, when we set our hearts and minds on him, that is a powerful, powerful weapon against the enemy who would come in. And we say, I am devoted to the one God. I will give him all my worship. We will give him all our worship. I build the church, but I believe that I had a prophetic word spoken to me at the beginning of this year by someone who I would consider to be very wise and an apostolic figure in terms of the church in Scotland. And he just said to me, it was before we moved into the building, and I'd been talking about building. He said, what I see is that I see a pile of rubble. See a pile of stones broken down. He says, it's like a cathedral that's been bombed during the war. And there's just piles of rubble. And there are people standing round. And they're thinking, what on earth do we do? How do we build this? What do we do with this pile of rubble? And then he said, And then people started to worship, to sing worship, to praise God together. And as they did that, this pile of rubble was being built into something beautiful. And the stones were the living stones of God's people built together. And he said, actually, the shape that he saw was the shape of an igloo. It started to be built. It looked like an igloo. And it looked like, and he said, water was pouring from this place. Water was pouring off it. It was melting and it was flooding the area around about it. And yet it wasn't melting. It was getting bigger. And I believe I held on to that picture. You know, when we came into this building and worship for the first Sunday, I have to say I was really, really nervous. Because I thought, what's it going to sound like? We've been in Queen Anne High School for all these years, this huge auditorium, and suddenly we're in this really enclosed space. And I don't know about acoustics, and I'm thinking, what on earth is going to sound like? And right from the start, when we sang the first song in here together, I thought, this is wonderful. This is powerful. And I had people coming up afterwards and say, there was something so together about what we were doing. We could hear ourselves singing for the first time with other people. It felt like we were a people together worshiping God, which we had missed in Queen Anne. And I believe that that in part was a fulfillment of the prophetic word that God was doing something to unite and to build us together as we sang God's praises together. We are made to worship God. Worship's more than just the songs we sing. I know that. It's more than just coming together in corporate praise. But it has to include songs, silence, praise to our God. A family, a community worshiping together. And I believe it's absolutely key as we move forward as a church. And I believe as the church grows in number, in faith, and Christ-likeness, the sound of worship from this church will grow. That Liberty Church will make a bigger sound. And I believe it won't be contained within these walls. I believe the sound of worship will reach out way beyond here and it will resonate. There's something about it resonating in our homes and in our workplaces, in our schools, in our streets. As God's people worship Him. I love this church. I love its DNA. If I wasn't a part of this church, I would want to be a part of this church. For all so many reasons. The more we give ourselves to God in worship, the greater our corporate worship will be, the greater that the sound we will make. I believe God's calling us to make a bigger sound. So, as we end our DNA series as a worshiping people, there only seems to be one fitting response to that, and that's to worship God together. But let me, just as we do that, finish with these words, Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of His faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with drums and guitars. For the Lord takes delight in His people. For the Lord takes delight in His people. And He crowns the humble with victory. Let His faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. I've never sung for joy on my bed. I'm not quite sure what that means. And we haven't got any beds, but we do have seats, but we're not going to use them. We're going to sing for joy. But I love that line, for the Lord takes delight in His people. That when we come together and sing the praises of God, our God is here, singing over us, delighting in His people. I think it's time to worship God, don't you?